Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Today I Learned, where we answer the question, why does breastfeeding make us so thirsty? And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, welcome to episode 56. Laura, how are you? You want to give us your check-in?
Yeah, hi, we're great. So my baby is 24 weeks old, which is about 5.5 months. I know that, you know, you kind of stop keeping track at some point. I should mention that now I have to look on my little baby tracker app every week to know how many weeks he is.
Yeah, right? You just kind of, it fades away around like 19 weeks, I feel like, is when it starts to just kind of go away. Yeah.
Yeah, it starts becoming less, you know, every week is not this big monumental thing anymore. You know, when your baby is 4 to 5 weeks old, the difference between 4 weeks and 5 weeks is huge, you know? Mm-hmm. But the difference between 23 and 24 weeks, you know, it's less huge. So, yeah. So he's about 5.5 months. So my week has been interesting. The first thing that I want to talk about is I want to follow up on sleep training.
Please do.
Which, as you know, last week we talked about my first week of sleep training where we ended the week with him sleeping entirely through the night on his own.
Crossing my fingers so hard, that's been the status quo.
I got my logs and he woke up one time the entire week in the middle of the night.
That's amazing.
And that one time was when our stupid, I shouldn't say stupid, I like it a lot, when the outlet monitor had a bad reading, like something went wrong, and it couldn't get a reading, and so it started alarming.
Oh, gosh.
And it woke up.
Did that freak you out?
No, because the nice thing about the outlet alarm is that there's different alarms for the different things. So if there's like a low oxygen or a low heartbeat, it has a different sound than it can't get a reading, or the sock is like misplaced on the foot. So I knew this one because it used to happen a lot before we were really good at like getting the sock on him right.
Yeah.
So, or like you're used to it because sometimes you forget to turn it off before you take the sock off of him in the morning and then it'll start making the song. It's Hush Little Baby. It's like, nee, 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 and this really like terrible little tone. So, I knew what it was and I was just like, oh my God, it's waking the baby up, you know?
So, well, why does it wake him up? Because doesn't the alarm go off by you, necessarily by him?
No, so here's the thing. So the base station for the outlet has to be within, I think it's like 50 feet of the baby. It's because it's Bluetooth. So the idea is that if your Wi-Fi goes out, it's still working, right? Oh. And so I can't have it in my room and still pick up the baby. So it's in his room.
Oh, but you have to have it loud enough so you can hear it in your
room?
Well,
you know, it gets picked up by the monitor. There's no different like sound levels. It's just what it is.
I see.
So it woke him up and I was a little pissed. But so I actually that night nursed him back to sleep in the middle of the night, even though that's not on plan. But I decided it was okay because it's not his fault he woke up. It's my fault or it's the outlet's fault, right?
Justifying you breaking the rules, Laura.
I know. Well, I'm all about exceptions. So, but the good news is that the next night he slept straight through. I have his first wake. He slept from 7:47 to 6:01 a.m. And I had to call 6:01 a middle of the night wake because you're supposed to hold them to that 11 hours. Mm-hmm. So he woke up. It says he woke up and cried for 1 minute, then went back to sleep. So, yeah. So he's doing great sleeping through the night. His naps are still crap. But we're thinking about nap training, but I think we need to wait because you're supposed to get your nights under control first. And Kara says, you know, it's usually too much stress to have both daytime sleep and nighttime sleep training at the same time. So I'm still, you know, boobing him to sleep during the day. And
boobing him to sleep. Oh, my God.
Boobing him to sleep.
That's a great phrase. Put that on a t-shirt.
Boobing him to sleep. But I'm hoping we'll be able to nap train because I still can't do anything during the day because I'm nap trapped. So
another great phrase. Well, one step at a time. I am so proud of you guys for doing the sleep training and the success with that. So that's awesome and a huge win.
Yes.
So let's celebrate that now.
Oh, I'm celebrating. I cannot believe how good it feels to sleep through the night. And I'm starting to actually sleep instead of constantly waking up and checking the video monitor and the outlet to make sure he's okay. You know, maybe once a night, I'll wake up to pee. I'm so used to, I haven't slept through the night since my third trimester, I think. Right? Mm-hmm. So my brain doesn't know how to do it anymore.
Yes. Yes, it does. It gets, it takes a while to get back in the rhythm.
Yeah.
For sure.
And one thing that hasn't gotten back to the rhythm is my boobs. Mm-hmm. They are not used to going all night without feeding a baby. So that's been, you know, a challenge. I'm lucky because I don't leak really. I don't know why. I've never really had a problem with leakage. I think I must have, like, really elastic
Because you're
boobs.
A breastfeeding unicorn. Like, you've had no problems. You don't leak. You have enough supply. You're just, like, the breastfeeding unicorn. That's what I decided.
Thank you. I like being a unicorn. I mean, I'm very grateful that my boobs have performed this well. I have to say, like,
10 out of 10. Good job, Laura's boobs.
You got in the way during jogging in middle school, but you're doing your job now.
They've come around.
But, you know, I think they are, like, I have big boobs. Like, they've always been fairly large, and I think they're very elastic, so they fill up before they start leaking. Mm-hmm. Oh, but they are sore in the morning.
Yeah.
So sore. So hopefully, they say it starts to regulate, right? Like, as you night wean, your body gets used to not feeding at night, and you're supply sort of regulates. I don't know. It's kind of magical. Like, how does your body know to produce during the day and not at night? I don't know. But
I don't know either. But it is true. It's totally true. For the first, I'd say, week or several days when after Cece was sleeping through the night, same thing with me. But now, not a problem. To the point where it's like, you're like, do I even have anything in there? Because it just feels like nothing. You know,
it's
it just
so
feels
weird.
Like so normal now. But she still seems satisfied. So.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, the whole thing, I could not imagine what breastfeeding was like before having a baby. Like, it's such a weird, unique experience. And I guess it's not unique, you know, a lot of women in the world do it. But I just didn't know what to expect from it. And it's so bizarre. But also, like, I'm also one of, like you said, a unicorn. Like, I actually kind of enjoy it. Like, I don't have pain and I have my, you know, no real supply issues. So I just kind of have enjoyed being able to do it. But whew, that first thing in the morning after a full night's sleep is, I don't know. I feel bad. I shouldn't complain. I feel like there's a lot of moms out there who probably would give anything for a full night's sleep. So I just want to say it's possible. It will happen again.
Yes.
Yes. And your boobs will be sore AF. But so yeah, that was my week. And yeah, we're smooth sailing over here. Hoping Woo-hoo. This nighttime sleep stays good. And we're officially done with the sleep training. We've done our 14 nights. So now we're just in past tense sleep trained world.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah. Yay. Welcome to Sleepland.
Yes.
Laura.
Oh my God. I've missed it. I've missed it so much.
Feels so good.
Yeah. Oh, one interesting thing about getting my sleep back is that I've gotten my dreams back too, more or less. Like, I've always been a very vivid dreamer, and I've always remembered all my dreams. And while I've been so sleep deprived, I've had dreams here and there, but I haven't been my, like, long, epic, vivid dreams that I've had my whole life, basically. And now they're back, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember what this is like. So my brain must be recovering slowly.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my week. What are you up to this week?
Cece is 28 weeks old, which means she's about 6.5 months. And since you just mentioned dreams, I'm going to start with this part of the check-in. It's so funny you mention it because I was going to talk about
oh yeah,
a crazy dream I had. Oh. 'Cause same with me. Like,
really?
I guess my dreams have come back. I'm not like an intense dreamer like you are, but I have noticed that the dreams have come back. And occasionally I have really stressful dreams about the kids. And,
oh, God.
So I think maybe I just need to get this off my chest. Like, this is not going to be an amazingly positive story. So fast forward if you don't want to hear this. But I dreamt that I think it was our friend Jen was in this dream with me. And we were doing something with work because Jen and I work together. And the crux of it is I realized, like, halfway through the workday that I had left Cece in the hot car, like, in her car seat.
Oh, my God. That is a nightmare.
And I went home, and I was like, oh, my God, Steve, I left Cece in the hot car. So we were running back to work, which is hilarious because I live, like, 20 miles from work.
Not but a quick we got run.
no, we got there in a jiff in my dream. And I, the terror I felt inside, you know, just like dreams can be so visceral mm-hmm. and so real mm-hmm. and so scary sometimes. It was horrible. Like, I was just like, and I remember this one piece of my dream. I was like, Steve, are you going to divorce me over this? And he's like, hell yes, I'm going to divorce you over this. But oh, first, no. Let's get that baby. And we were running and running. And then I woke up. So.
Oh, so you didn't get to have a resolution?
No. And I got to tell you, I was really, really happy because I don't like resolutions and dreams that may or may not be good news.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
that's a
like
good point.
I did not feel like that dream was going in a good direction. Mm. So I woke up and was, you know, panicked, and I dealt with that emotional experience for quite a while. Like, it's still, just thinking about it, it's just like, oh my gosh.
It's so interesting how dreams have an effect on your waking life. You know, you think you would wake up and just be like, well, that was a dream. But they really emotionally affect, they affect me. I mean, I think they affect a lot of people. I remember back before I had my son, you know, my worst nightmares were always like Corey cheating on me or something, or like mm-hmm. saying he doesn't love me. And you wake up and you're mad at them.
Yes. You know? Mm-hmm.
And you try not to be, but you're just like, God, you were such a jerk in my dream last night.
Or last night I had a dream I had an affair with Paul Rudd, but I was so...
Oh my God, that's a good dream, Shauna.
It was good on one hand, but I was so guilty. I was like, and the guilt was part of the dream. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh my God, Paul Rudd likes me. Oh, this is me in my dream, right? Oh my God, I'm like such a special woman. And then in my dream, I'm also, but Steve, I love Steve so much and I would never do this to him. Why did I sleep with Paul Rudd? And
I mean, this is a really good sign about your marriage, right?
Oh,
like
I think
that
it is.
In your dream, Paul Rudd, the ageless Paul Rudd, who is so adorable, is uh-huh. interested in you. And your first thought is Steve. Like, that's a,
oh, yes.
That's a good sign. That's
yeah.
a good sign.
Yeah, so hopefully he'll be happy to hear that. Steve, not Paul Rudd.
Sorry, Paul Rudd.
Sorry.
If you're listening, we do love you, but we're not going to leave our husbands for you. Sorry.
That's right. So anyway, that was my big emotional dream thing for the week. My other emotional check-in for the week is, so things have been smooth sailing and Cece's been really happy, but the shrieking and the, how do I say this?
Pterodactyl noises?
The shrieking and the pterodactyl noises have returned.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, I just love her, but I just, when she is working on something, I assume that she's working on crawling and getting frustrated, and so it's just screaming and crying, or the teething, you know, I often don't know with what's going on exactly, and so I'm like pulling out all the stops trying to comfort her, and it often doesn't work well, and so that just puts me in a tailspin. But the weird thing is that I checked Wonder Weeks, which yeah. talks about the developmental leaps of the kids, the babies, which I assumed, like, she's acting like she's in a leap, but I'm pretty sure she's not, because there's, like, a big gap between leap 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been so confused. And I checked the app, just being like, well, we'll see how far we are to the next one. And here's what it says. So Cece's 29 weeks, and this is what it says. Like a big disclaimer, like the first note I see when I open it.
Mm-hmm.
Fussy and irritable behavior at around 29 or 39 weeks is not a telltale sign of another leap. Your baby has simply discovered that her mommy can walk away and leave her behind.
Oh.
And as funny as it may sound, this is progress. It's a new skill and your baby's learning about distance.
Oh.
I was like, I know she's also, you know, going through crawling and probably teething, but like, oh, that gave me like another level of awareness and understanding about what she's going through. Like when I do walk away, she's like, wait, where did mom go? Whereas before, it was like, didn't even register on her radar.
Huh. That's so interesting. Is that the beginning of separation anxiety?
Probably. Yeah. Huh. Probably. I think right around here, they kind of learn that like you're a separate person from them and that you can leave and go away and come back. So yeah, we have a lot going on in our household. Her progress toward crawling is improving every day. She's getting stronger and stronger, and I think that's coming soon, but not yet. So it is a source of frustration for her. And even though it seems like she's teething, no teeth anywhere in sight, just a lot of drool. Yeah, it's just all of this stuff is just taking forever. It's so funny. You think it's going to happen right away, And it's a progress. So
my mom has been predicting my baby teething for months now. Corey keeps saying that she'll be right eventually. Because he's always been big on chewing things, and he drools a lot. So, you know, I think he was 2 months. She's like, oh, I think he's teething. I'm like, wouldn't that be early? And she's like, it's still, you know, it happens. And it does. I know it does. You know, some babies do. Some people's babies are born with teeth. Did you know that?
One of my friends claimed she was born with teeth.
Crazy. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they haven't, you know, we just continue with the baby who enjoys chewing things and lots of drool. So,
yeah.
One day they will show up.
Yeah, and one day it'll pop through and you'll be like, hey, congratulations.
And then it continues for like 18 months.
Yeah. Oh, what a great time. But that's all for me this week. Should we move on to our special segment?
Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
Hi, welcome back to the show. So this week's special segment is Today I Learned, where we talk about new and cool things we've learned about. Shauna, what did you learn recently?
Today I learned that there is something called the Tiniest Baby Registry.
What?
Did you know about this?
No. How tiny are these babies?
They're tiny. They're called like micro preemies.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I came across it is I was struck by an article that came out recently about the world's tiniest surviving baby. She was recently born at 8.6 ounces.
Oh my God.
I know, she's so tiny. So she was born at 23 weeks and wow. In California. Yeah, she's so tiny, and she survived, which is the good news.
Very good news.
Yeah, she was just recently released from the hospital. So she was in the hospital for 5 months after being born so tiny, but she survived, and she's doing great, which is wonderful, and she's super cute. They have a picture of her after she's leaving the hospital. They put, like, a little graduation cap on her.
Like,
she's graduated from the hospital. So adorable. And that in itself, I thought, was fascinating. And
totally.
Interesting.
23 weeks. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're not so ready to have a baby at 23 weeks?
No. Obviously, it was an emergency C-section. There were complications, and the mom's life was at risk. And so they did the procedure. And the fact that a baby that tiny—that's like half a pound.
Mm-hmm.
That's so small. So that blew my mind, and like, just made me really happy. And then within the article, I found out that she's like the number one tiniest baby on the Tiniest Baby Registry, which is something that the University of Iowa Healthcare Center manages.
Okay.
And they have information going back to the like 1930s. And
wow.
they gather information from parents of tiny babies, micro preemies, or doctors, healthcare facilities, etc. And then they'll track as best they can the development of the babies through time. So, for example, there's a baby here that was born in 1938 in the United Kingdom. Her birth weight was 283 grams. I don't know how many ounces that is. Top of my head.
I'm going to Google it. 238 gram in ounces.
283.
Oh, 283. Let me strip that. Did you know that you can just Google that? You can say 283 grams in ounces and it pops up with the answer?
I love Google.
That's 10 ounces. 9.98 ounces.
Okay. So still super small, less than a pound, but bigger than the micro preemie I was just talking about. And this one was actually born at 34 weeks gestational age. So a little much older, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know the story. It's not like it comes with an article or anything, but so that's the info. And then you can click on the most recent information about this person and find out that at 1 year old, the baby weighed 13 pounds, 14 ounces. And at 21 years old, 21 years old, she weighed 106 pounds.
Oh, so like a normal, you know, average, maybe like less, a little lower than average, but still like within the range of an average person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet that's a really interesting thing for parents of micropreemies to be able to look at too, right? Because if you have a really small micropreemie and you're in the NICU for months and you're trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen to my baby, you can go to this registry and find similar babies and see how they did, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And there's photographs.
Whoa, that's cool.
Oh my gosh. So this is, so here's one that the baby was born in 1998 in Iowa City, Iowa, 387 grams, which 10-ish ounces, 11 ounces.
378, did you say?
387.
Why do I keep transposing them in ounces? 387 is 13.6 ounces.
Okay. Born at 24 weeks. And what we know about this person now is she's 18 years old, 100 pounds. She loves animals. She likes to write poetry.
No.
I know. And oh my God, there's a picture of her at age 3. Oh my God, she's as cute as a button. That's and then adorable. Here's a picture of her at age 18.
Still cute as a button?
Still cute as a button, wearing an adorable leopard print shirt.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Not like piercings and tattoos.
No, she looks slightly more emo, you know, than she did at 3.
Not that there's anything wrong with piercings and tattoos, but
nothing.
There's cognitive dissonance when you see a cute little baby and then you're like, oh my God, they're an adult now.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting thing, something I never knew existed. If this is something you're looking to check out, just a little warning, not all the outcomes are positive. It does list any conditions or struggles the person may have had in life. So you might want to avoid it if it's a potential trigger for you. But I will post that link on our show notes. So if anyone's interested in the tiniest babies, you can check it out.
That's so cool. Yeah. I want to look at the little itty bitty babies.
Yeah, super cute. So what about you, Laura? What have you learned recently?
All right. So you breastfeed. I breastfeed.
Uh-huh.
A lot of our listeners breastfeed. And one thing I have noticed is that when I, you know, sit down to feed my baby, if my very large Hydro Flask bottle full of ice water isn't right next to me, I am livid because I get so thirsty when I'm breastfeeding. Does the same thing happen to you?
I can relate. Not so much anymore, but maybe that's because I've cut out a bunch of feedings, but yeah.
Oh my gosh, if I sit down and like the minute he starts feeding, I'm just like parched, like I've never had water before. And so I was mentioning this to someone and they were like, oh yeah, that's the oxytocin.
Huh?
And I was like, what? And so you know that oxytocin gets released in your brain when you start breastfeeding.
Isn't that a feel-good hormone?
So oxytocin is the feel-good hormone, as you mentioned, that gets released, you know, when you're breastfeeding, also like when you're having sex and stuff like that. If you're lucky. That's true. If you got a good partner. And I didn't realize, but someone told me that it is the cause of your intense thirst when you're breastfeeding.
Why?
So I don't know. So I decided to fact check this. And I found this article. Actually, it's a paper in Clinical Endocrinology from 1995, actually, that the title of this, get ready, I'm going to see if I can say this in one go. Thirst induced by a suckling episode during breastfeeding and relation with plasma, vasopressin, oxytocin, and osmoregulation. Thrilling. Thrilling.
Say what?
So basically they took 10 healthy breastfeeding women who were between 28 and 52 days postpartum and measured their serum oxytocin and different levels of other stuff, but we're just paying attention to the oxytocin, and then compared it with their reported levels of thirst. And it was one of those like, oh, so you need a study to do this?
Yeah.
Conclusions. This study confirms that suckling is a potent stimulus to thirst in the mother. Really? But what they don't know is actually how it works, like why it happens. And their conclusion is that the oxytocin does go up while the thirst goes up, but they don't know if it's just a correlation or what. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to say that it's a causation. I think that, you know, it probably makes sense evolutionarily that something would cause you to be thirsty when you breastfeed because you need that water to replace, you know, the fluid that you're losing breastfeeding. So
absolutely.
As you've said many times, the water is a great galactagogue. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was interesting that people have been doing studies on it, and I am now blaming my thirst on my oxytocin. But I was also glad to hear that other people had the same problem, because I actually kind of thought it was just like, I don't know, I'm just a water bottle kind of person. Like, I always love having my water bottle with me.
Oh, I'm addicted and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. I think I made my Hydro Flask a BFP, like, mm-hmm. ages ago. I freaking love that thing. So, yeah, I'm glad to know that it's not just me.
Well, I wonder, is it really related to the oxytocin necessarily, or just the fact that our body is like, oh, liquid going out, liquid needs to go in?
Is sure. It a hormone thing? I mean, maybe it's more complicated than just the oxytocin, right? Mm-hmm. But I guess it's probably, there's no good way to know. I guess you could pump people full of oxytocin and then see if they get thirsty, but that doesn't seem, you know.
Mm.
I do think, you know, people get thirsty after having sex.
There you go. Just get a room full of people, make them all orgasm, see how thirsty they are on a scale of 1 to 10.
Just measure the water consumption on porn sets.
There you go. I think we should be scientists, Laura.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We're mm-hmm. definitely coming up with some good models.
Yeah, some good hypotheses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just, I thought it was cool to learn that there's like a physiological thing that's going on. I mean, it makes sense if you think about it logically, but I think I was kind of self-conscious about my addiction to my water bottle. So I just feel good about it being, you know, not just me.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason.
There's a reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And that is oxytocin.
That's what they say.
That is what everyone says. Well, what do you think? Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs after a quick break?
Let's do it.
I need to drink some water. I don't know about you.
Mm-hmm. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, what do you have for us this week?
I have a BFN.
What?
One thing I didn't talk about during my weekly check-in was that this week I had my first overnight alone with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So
why?
Corey went to Vegas for about 24 hours to celebrate his best man's 40th birthday. And I knew this was coming, you know, he made the plans, I think right when the baby was born, and he was smart to make it only like a 24-hour trip. You know, I think he flew from Burbank to Vegas at like 11 a.m. and was back by noon the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that different, right, from what I have to do normally. You know, I normally take care of the baby all by myself during the day. I just had to do bedtime by myself.
Well, because he's sleeping through the night now. He's asleep
exactly.
That whole time.
Yeah. So it should be easy peasy, right? So my BFN is nighttime anxiety.
Oh, God, I can relate to that. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, I've never been great at being home alone. I've always had a little bit of, like, anxiety about people breaking in or, you know, I don't know, just monsters in the closet
when
I was little.
Well, because you grew up with ghosts in your house, as we learned a couple episodes ago.
I do think that has something to do with it, but that, again, is a story for another day or podcast. But I did grow up with a lot of anxiety falling asleep and just being worried about, you know, all kinds of things. And, you know, my dreams have been very vivid, so I'll wake up from, like, a really bad nightmare, and when I'm home alone, I have no one to, like, you know, snuggle up next to and make me feel like I'm safe. So the other thing that was kind of shitty about the timing of Corey going out of town was that it happened to coincide with the 1-year anniversary of my friend who died last year, who was killed. And we didn't think about this when we scheduled, you know, the trip. It literally didn't occur to me. I knew that the anniversary was coming up, but I didn't think, oh, I should look and see when it is. And so that day ended up being really pretty hard for me. And then on top of it, there had been some stuff in the news. There was like a really big piece about him that was lovely and like talked about his life, and I had just read it, but it would brought everything right up to the forefront, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I had to be home alone with the baby.
That's hard.
And I barely slept, Shauna.
Uh-huh.
I kept trying to fall asleep. I nearly went into the baby's room to sleep there because I just kept checking. We have Nest cams. So we have, like, you know, outdoor cameras on the front and the back of the house and indoor. And I just spent almost all night just staring at my phone watching the Nest cams. Every time, you know, the motion sensor light came on outside, I, like, panicked and had to look at the Nest cam. And I was trying to do all the things I normally do to calm my anxiety. You know, I'm usually pretty good at managing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't do it. And I was very, very much a wreck and did not get very much sleep. So that's my BFN.
Mm-hmm. That's hard.
I feel like I should be better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be an independent woman in 2019 and not have to worry about being home alone. But adding the baby to it.
Yeah, you have a 5-month-old baby. I mean, you are in a vulnerable position and you're just being human and feeling that and experiencing that. And it is, it is stressful. I'd be stressed out too.
Well, and he has doors to his bedroom. So, like, every room in this house has doors to the outside. So I'm also like, oh my gosh, someone's gonna break in and, you know, can come right in the door and steal him. And, like, oh God, it's just, there's a lot of irrational anxiety there. So, and it doesn't help that, like, you know, one of the things you do when you have anxiety is you're like, well, you know, that's so far-fetched. Nothing like that will ever happen. No one's looking to hurt you. But when just a year ago, someone did hurt a good friend of yours randomly, it really screws up that calibration, you know, because really bad things do happen to people. You know, I can't just be like, nothing's ever going to happen. Nothing bad happens. That's all just, you know, from the TV and movies. It's like, no, bad things do happen. So you have to, like, find a way to reconcile that and still get some sleep. And I haven't figured out how to do that yet.
Oh, no, that's a hard one. That's a tough one. I'm glad Corey came home after 24 hours.
Me too.
I'm assuming he didn't get much sleep either because it's
Vegas. Yeah, I have to say that I mean, I had a rough night, but I don't know if I would switch places with him, to be honest. I think he was sending me text messages at like 1 a.m, being like, okay, we're leaving the club. And I was like, oh God, the club. He said he tried to convince them to go see Toy Story 4. Is it 4? Whatever the new Toy Story is, and they didn't want to do that. I don't know, but he tried. Anyway, but the point, you know, the one thing that's good is every time I get through a night like that, it does help my anxiety because I can remember that last time you did it and everything was fine. Mm-hmm. So that's one night under my belt where I can say, it's fine. You got through it. It'll be fine again. So,
yeah,
I should reframe it as I did well. I got through it.
I think you did great.
Thank you.
I will say it was an interesting change for me moving from an apartment complex to a house because houses are, you know, standalone structures and your neighbors are so much further away and it just seems like there's more entry points. Because when I was living in an apartment when my baby was first born and I did like, I think my first overnight with Elle, I was on the second story of an apartment behind gates and like there wasn't that much anxiety about anyone coming in or if they did, like my neighbors were so close, they were right there and people could hear everything and that always gave me a sense of security. And like I love living in a house, but I kind of miss that like closeness of so many people. And I don't know, I feel like in a way a little bit less secure living in a house. I don't know about you.
I mean, I have mixed feelings because on one hand, we're kind of removed from the street, so this house that we're in is actually a bit more secure, and we're also in a safer neighborhood in general. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think that there are things where you're thinking, like, where would I run? You know, like, what would I do? And when you're in a house, you have to run further. Although your house is a little, you have a little bit more land around your house. My house is fairly close to the neighbors, right?
True.
So I think I could just, like, flash my lights and my neighbors would be like, what's going on over there? Aww. And I know my neighbors, so that's good.
Yeah, my neighbor really hates us, so she's no help, but there's some other ones that like us.
That's good. That's good.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm glad you survived. Good job.
Thank you.
You did great.
Yes.
That's a win.
Yes, and the baby slept through the night. I didn't, but he did, so
that's fantastic.
A win. Yeah. You didn't know about my anxiety. Anyway, how about you? Do you have a big bet positive or a big bet negative for us?
I have a BFP.
Oh, thank God.
Woohoo! And this is probably something literally every mom knows about, every parent knows about, but I just love it. I fall more in love with it, you know, the more I parent and the more time goes by. Aquaphor. I fucking love Aquaphor. Do you use this?
I actually don't use Aquaphor, but I know about it. Oh, I know about it.
Man.
I just have a big tub of Vaseline.
No, Aquaphor is Vaseline on dope, on crack, on everything good. I don't know. I don't like crack or dope necessarily, but everything good. It's awesome. It's got like extra ingredients in it, like lanolin, which I know you like.
Oh, I do love that lanolin.
It's got some other soothing elements. So petroleum jelly, like petroleum is like the biggest ingredient in this stuff. But it's got those other like soothing ingredients. And I love it for diaper stuff, like diaper rashes. Cece doesn't have as much extreme diaper rash as Elle did. So I always had to use like extra strength Desitin or even this like specially made butt cream from the pharmacist.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. We had a lot of problems with her. And Cece's less sensitive. But so just like some Aquaphor keeps her, you know, feeling good.
Tip top.
Tip top. So the reason I love Aquaphor right now is that Cece has drool rash all over her chin and cheeks and mouth. And this stuff is fantastic because, of course, I'm like, drool rash? What is this? Like, I had to go to the internet. Like, what do I do? And a lot of suggestions was like, Aquaphor, Aquaphor. And I'm like, I have Aquaphor.
I have it.
I have it.
But do you have stock in Aquaphor?
Oh, I don't. I really wish. I feel like I do because the tub that I have is like the size of Kansas. I got the biggest one that they have. And I just like slather it on her face between feedings or at night before bed. And it just, it looks better by the next day. It's wonderful. And, you know, if I ever like have chapped lips or something, boom, you can use it for that too. So there's so many things you can use it for. It's awesome. I love it. Get yourself some.
I should probably get some.
Yeah.
We've been using Boudreaux's butt paste on my baby's butt, and it's worked very, very well. But it's got like 40% zinc oxide, which he has like a perfect butt right now. He has zero rash. Mm-hmm. So part of me is like, maybe he doesn't need the high intensity butt paste anymore, you know?
Yeah, I don't put anything on butts if they're looking good, but that's my MO.
I mean, if your butt's looking good, just leave it be. Leave that's it Shauna's be. Philosophy.
Au naturel, baby. So if it starts to get a little pink, you know, a little Aquaphor, if it starts to get bad, I do Desitin, extra strength Desitin. That's what my pediatrician recommended ages ago, and that's the one with a lot of zinc. So that's my butt strategy, if anyone is curious.
I'd be curious what our listeners' butt strategies are.
Please let us know. We would love to hear from you. If you want to join the conversation, please reach out. Laura, where can they find us?
We are on the social medias at BFP Podcast. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. So just search Big Fat Positive Community, ask to join, and we will approve you, and you can join in the conversation. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
If you love Big Fat Positive, please rate and review us on whatever platform you listen and recommend us to your newly pregnant or parent friends. Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Burek, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Do I need to be saying after this break?
Yeah, people know about breaks. You know what I mean?
Know about motherfucking breaks, especially when the music kicks in.
What is this? What is this strange music? What is this, an ad? But I was expecting the rest of my podcast.